Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Movies and a Meal, the podcast where we talk about movies and other things while we eat. Keith here, and though Brad has the week off to travel to WrestleMania in Philly, I'm of course joined by Ben.
Hey.
And this week we have two movies. First up is the Netflix flick The Beautiful Game, a crowd pleaser about the Homeless World Cup. And after that, the main attraction, Dev Patel's feature directing debut, the action movie Monkey Man. So to start us off, Ben, what is The Beautiful Game all about?
Okay, summary, courtesy IMDb. Advocates to End Homelessness organize an annual tournament of homeless men to compete in a series of football matches known as the Homeless World Cup.
When I saw this one listed on Netflix, the title of course had me intrigued because everyone knows what The Beautiful Game means in soccer, but once I found out it was about the Homeless World Cup, I was intrigued. I'd heard of the Homeless World Cup, I didn't know anything about it. But I really don't have any time for movies that are so earnest that they take all the fun out of things, but thankfully, The Beautiful Game goes right up to that line, but still offers a mix of stirring social commentary, great performances, and yes, plenty of fun too. And it helps that the cast is a fun one all around. Bill Nye is kind of coasting here. He's kind of being Bill Nye as the coach of who assembles Britain's squad for the next Homeless World Cup. He's kind of just kind of an English gentleman, and that's what he is. But much better is Michael Ward, perhaps known so far to most of the world as star of Empire of Light, but he was also great in Steve McQueen's Small Axe, the Lovers Rock episode. He's one half of the main couple. As Vinny, the hotshot player recruited to give England its first real shot at winning the title, he gives a deep role all the layers it needs. It's a complicated hero to cheer for, but of my favorite kind, and he was fantastic. And thankfully, along with all the soccer, which here is played on a compact field as 4-on-4, The Beautiful Game takes the time to let us get to know all the members of the England squad, and some on other teams too. Among England's players, Robin Nazari shines brightest as Aldar, a refugee from war who we find out in one of the many touching scenes was once a successful barber. And among the supporting players, Susan Wacoma steals every scene she's in as Protasia, the formidable nun who coaches South Africa's squad, and Christina Rodlow as the American player Rosita is just one of many great players that you'll cheer for throughout. What really makes this all work, though, is the spirit of it. No surprise, since it was developed in cooperation with the Homeless World Cup itself. And tying this all together is a real accomplishment for director Thea Sharak, best known to me before for the most excellent Me Before You, one of my all-time favorite romantic comedies. But coincidentally, she has a movie in theaters this week also, the British comedy Wicked Little Letters with Olivia Colman and Jesse Buckley. So I think I'll try to catch that one for a future episode. And you know, there's really so much to cheer in this movie that it really had me smiling throughout. The soccer, while not of the variety any of us are used to, is filmed in style and it really keeps you hooked throughout. But it's also full of just little charming moments, like when the Japanese squad, they realize early on, you know, they're not going to be contenders. Instead, they just, you know, get to see Rome, and it's fantastic. Now, I looked it up. As for the real World Homeless Cup, the title was first bestowed in 2003, sorry. And the leaders are Mexico and Brazil. Mexico's won it 4 times, and Brazil 3 times. No surprise there. And Chile won their last one in 2023. And the final word about another recent, you can't see my quotes, but soccer movie with soccer in derisive quotes, Next Goal Wins. I think I like this one a little more than Ben and Brad, but it's just not a good movie. And the difference here is stark. You know, Taika said he doesn't even know anything about soccer, and it showed. But Thea Sharak clearly loves soccer, and she was devoted to the story of the Homeless World Cup, and it just makes a much better movie. You know, with The Beautiful Game, I would definitely say check it out on Netflix if you want a feel-good movie that gives you all kinds of reasons to cheer. And for that, I will give it, as I like to say, an affectionate 3 stars.
Okay, let me do the Rotten Tomatoes. So, Keith?
I don't know the final score, but when I looked at Google to find out what this was about, at some point it had 100% from the critics. I doubt that's actually...
That is not correct, so...
I'm going to go 80 with the critics, and same with the fans. You know.
Okay, you're not too far off. 86% for the critics.
Okay, well, that's good.
Audience score is 72.
That's not bad.
And the critics' consensus, The Beautiful Game has an undeniable warmth that further elevates its already irresistible true story, helping this inspirational drama score despite a reliance on well-worn cliches.
Exactly. It is cliched, but, you know, there's several storylines to cheer for, even if you don't like soccer. It's just a really feel-good movie.
Should we talk about the other movie?
We should, and you can give us the IMDb summary for Monkey Man.
Okay. Summary, courtesy IMDb. An anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systematically victimize the poor and powerless. As Keith said, this movie is directed by Dev Patel. Basically, he wanted to be an action star. And so he's like, I'm just going to do it myself. I was telling Keith that this production has been kind of fraught. He broke his hand at one point, Dev Patel. Also, this movie's been kind of long brewing. I think they wanted to film it right before COVID started, and obviously that put the brakes on things. And there were several times where the investors were like, I don't know if we should do this movie anymore. They wanted to pull it out. But, you know, they did this movie for $10 million. It was filmed in Indonesia. I think in the trivia, I think in some parts, because, you know, they didn't have a lot of money, some shots were just filmed on an iPhone or like an iPad. You know, I'm not gonna nitpick it. I enjoyed this movie. Dev Patel is a star. I think we all enjoy looking and watching him. You know, he has a magnetism that a movie star has, for sure. And this movie, you know, you can tell, or at least I can tell, that he loves action movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of vibes to this. There's a direct reference to John Wick, but, you know, I get a little bit of, like, The Bourne Identity and some of these other movies. But for a first movie for Dev Patel, I can't think of a really stronger debut, really. Very strong.
And it's very distinctive. It's totally his movie. You know, the movies that it made me think of were more in the vein of The Raid or, you know, The Night Comes for Us. Not because The Raid has constant action. There's really only two extended sequences of action in this movie. The story, we'll talk about the story a little after this, but the action is first rate, but be ready for it, though. It is, especially Night Comes for Us, it's that kind of violence. It's very bloody, very in your face. You know, people die creatively, and there's blood all over the place.
There's two instances with Dev Patel where, you know, I mean, they're fighting. They're, like, realistically fighting, and, you know, when you're in a life and death situation, you know, you have to
be creative.
Be creative. And there's two scenes. I'll mention them because they're out of context. But, you know, there's a scene where somebody gets their nose bitten off. And there's another scene where somebody gets stabbed in the throat. But in a...
Very brutal way.
Yeah.
Very close up. Yeah.
But, you know, the action's good in this. The story moves fairly well, at a good pace. You know, it's really Dev Patel's movie. I think he has some co-stars, some other people who...
Chantal Copley.
Yeah, Shirley Copley from...
He's sort of the ring announcer.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we're just going to ping around the place. I guess, you know, Dev Patel had worked with, what's his name? Neil Blog?
Blomkamp.
And so I think he originally asked him to direct this movie, but like, you should just do this yourself. And
good
so he
him.
Did. And, you know, Charlito Copley obviously is a longtime collaborator. So.
And he was very funny as the ring announcer. You know? Yeah. And, you know, one more thing about the look. You're right. You can tell that it was kind of cheap film, but it made me think a lot of another director, you know, Nicholas Winding Refn. After Drive, he made two movies, Neon Demon and the very underrated Only God Forgives.
That's a weird movie.
They have their own distinct look, and there's a real red look to, you know, Monkey Man. It's the main color, but it's got a gritty style, but it has its own kind of unique look, which I really appreciate.
I mean, I think that's the benefits to filming on location, even though it wasn't filmed in India, it was filmed in Indonesia, but, you know... We love the Marvel movies. I've been down on them, but, you know, the Marvel movies, they're filmed on a stage, on the volume, or they're filmed in Atlanta that is supposed to be, you know, Dubai or wherever the heck they're supposed to be at the time. You know, there is a certain realism that you only get when you film in actual places and then near the actual places where things are set. So,
Yeah, and, you know, this is a truly gritty India movie. You know, it's interesting. If you think about Dev, at least his movie debut was Slumdog. He was great in that. But, and then, you know, people have criticized Danny Boyle and say that's a sanitized view of India. I don't really buy that. It's a perfectly good movie. But this is truly, this and The White Tiger, which I like even more. This is, be ready, this is no hold barred, gritty India. And I appreciate it in the story. It is kind of a revenge story where he's, not spoiling too much, involves his mother. But he does also get into, without naming Modi, of course, he gets into the nationalist strain of India politics. It does it very well. It doesn't drag the story down too much. It just adds to his revenge arc. And the action was great, but I thought the story might have been even better. I was just impressed. It was very tight. It was about an hour and 50 minutes, I think. You know.
Yeah, it was 2:01.
Yeah,
but...
so I thought the story was matched the action.
Yeah, I mean, my only thing I would say is if you watch the trailers and if you're going into this movie thinking it's going to be kind of, you know, John Wick in India, this isn't the movie that you're going to get.
No.
Like what Keith said, You basically had two, maybe 15-minute extended action movies, one in the action sequences, one in the beginning, and one towards the end. And the rest of it, it's, you know, it's just a quiet, not even quiet reflection, but, you know, it's like, it's character building. Yeah.
And of course, a training montage. Yeah. You know?
You are, you know, getting the motivations for this guy. Mm-hmm. And you know why he wants the vengeance, and
I appreciate that. I love the raid, but take some time for storytelling. That's fine too.
I would recommend it for sure. But like you know, just again that caveat, it is more of a drama with action than an all out action movie like a John Wick. But I think just the actual action sequences are, if not on par, they're very close to like just they're high level. They're very high level for sure.
But like, that's why I mentioned that it comes for us though, because it's not only high level, it's intense and it's bloody. I mean, John Wick, I love John Wick, but it's very stylized. You do see people die, but it's totally stylized, and that's fine. That's a different kind of movie.
It's good. I don't know if there's really anything else to say. I mean, it's a pretty simple movie.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot to explain. We both liked it, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give your stars?
I don't know if they should give extra points for a debut. That was very strong. But, what the heck, whatever. I don't think I'll regret this. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I just thought, you know, I'm interested to see what Dev Patel does next. If he wants to do some more action movies, go for it. Hopefully he can expand his horizons a little bit. And like I said, there's a passion to this movie. You know, a lot of directors will just, you know, dip in and do a genre movie just because, like, it's, you know, why not? But you could tell that he really actually enjoys action movies, and it shows in the work here. So 3.5 for me.
And that's exactly why I give it 4 stars. Also, I just love Dev Patel. I mean, Ben knows I'll watch anything with Anya Taylor-Joy or Florence Pugh. He's right up there, though. I'll watch anything with Dev Patel. But the way he mastered both the story and the action, it's just an amazing debut movie. Loved it.
Okay. So 3.5 and 4. Mm-hmm. You're doing the Rotten Tomatoes.
I have them, and so you get to play.
Okay. I'll shoot for the stars on this. I'll go 90% for the critics' audience, because maybe they felt like a bait and switch. I'll go like 71.
I didn't think the critics would be that high, but you're very close. 87%.
Okay.
83 from the fans. Rock on.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
People are turning down. And critics consensus, an audacious effort from debuting director Dev Patel, Monkey Man dispenses action and socio-political commentary with equal aplomb. And I believe we have some box office numbers.
Okay.
I'll just do 3 because that we can get to Monkey Man that way. I believe Monkey Man finished 2nd. That's good. Godzilla is running very strong. It did lose 60% from week 1.
But that's usually what that drop is. Yeah.
It made $31.7 million for a 10-day total of $135 million. Now, here's where the good news comes. Ben tells me that Monkey Man cost $10 million to make. It made $10.1 million already. So, awesome. And I'll just go one more. In 3rd is Ghostbusters, which is really disappointing, I gotta say. Not only is a movie, but also 3rd with $9 million, a total of $88.8 million in 3 weeks. That's not terrible, but not great.
No, I think it was on track. I think when we reviewed it on its debut weekend, I think it was on track to maybe make as much as the Afterlife movie, but I don't know, the middling reviews and everything like that. So, I mean, it is what it is. Maybe they'll get a sequel and they can right the wrongs of what we felt in this movie. So,
yes, they need to give the kids more time and make a better movie.
Okay. Well, I think we're done then.
I think we are.
Okay, so why don't you do the
all right. Well, you can reach us at moviesandameal.com, moviesandameal on X/Twitter. And do give us a listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, so for this episode of Movies and a Meal, I'm Ben.
And Keith.